Ramirez. Ramirez.
Yes, may it please the court. I'm Kent Anderson with the Federal Public Defender's Office for the Central District of Illinois, representing the appellant, Mr. Ramirez Gutierrez. Mr. Ramirez Gutierrez was convicted of being in the United States after having been deported, subsequent to an aggravated felony conviction, and he made several arguments for sentence below the guidelines range. However, the district court didn't address the best of those arguments. The court was required to address the two arguments that were not obviously frivolous.
Were you counsel below?
No, Your Honor.
Why do you... You may not know the answer, but I really did wonder why counsel didn't discuss the conditions of confinement argument or basically any other arguments, you know, at the sentencing hearing.
I wondered that myself, Your Honor, but I don't know the answer.
Yeah.
And it certainly, I may not be here if he had.
I'm wondering if something else. When you say you wouldn't be here if he had,
well,
if
the judge,
if the judge had explicitly stated that the conditions of pretrial confinement didn't entitle the defendant to a lower sentence, would you still argue that the sentence was unreasonable, or is the only issue here, in your view, or I should say your view that the district court's failure to discuss the argument?
That is the only issue that I'm raising. I think that it's at least a close enough question that I probably would not be able to argue substantive unreasonableness had the court addressed these issues. And, of course, you know, he should have done that, since both the Second and the 11th Circuit, even before Booker, have found that an appropriate case can be a reason for a lower sentence. One of the things, broken tooth wasn't treated. This court has found denial of dental care is not only unconstitutional, but one of an inmate's most important needs. And, of course, there was also the problem with the fresh air, that there wasn't much fresh air or ventilation. And this court also found that the right to adequate ventilation is a clearly established constitutional right. And then, finally, the lack of outdoor exercise, which the Ninth Circuit found is important to an inmate's physical and psychological well-being, as well as the lesser arguments. And the court could very well, if it had addressed these, found that because this was more severe than Mr. Ramirez Gutierrez would have faced in most other jails and certainly in a Bureau of Prisons facility, just punishment required a shorter sentence to account for the increase in severity.
Now, you know, sad as it may be, and the last thing on earth I would ever do is, you know, belittle in any way the argument, ever, because these are, I mean, he was in a difficult situation, particularly with that tooth, but the condition that he describes, do you believe that these are out of the ordinary? I mean, do you think they truly reach constitutional concerns?
It's hard to say whether in this particular case they do. I think they could in some cases. You know, perhaps ideally the court would have held an evidentiary hearing so we would have more than Mr. Ramirez Gutierrez's statement. Certainly a broken tooth can reach constitutional dimension. Whether it did in this case or not, I don't know. But regardless, I don't think it has to be substandard.
And how do we deal with the fact that Judge Castillo said that he had read the pre-sentence memorandum and all of the issues were, well, the issue of the prison conditions was certainly raised there.
He did say that. However, he did not, as this court requires, explain even briefly why he was rejecting those arguments. I mean, he may have concluded that these are reasonable arguments, but they're outweighed by the other factors. But without him at least saying that, we don't know that. And this court and now the Supreme Court has required at least that much explanation. In addition, Judge Castillo did sentence near the low end of the guidelines range anyway, and he was under the misimpression that Mr. Ramirez-Gutierrez would be able to get time off for participating in the Bureau of Prisons drug treatment program, which most defendants can, but illegal aliens can't. And then, of course, there's the other argument regarding a substance abuse, which this court certainly has held is not a ground that on which a court must reduce the sentence, but it is not held that a court cannot reduce the sentence on that ground, as other courts have. So even if the sentence was reasonable, the fact is there's more than one reasonable sentence in most and certainly this case. So the error does not appear to be harmless in light of the court's failure to address the questions and its mistaken impression that Mr. Ramirez-Gutierrez could lower his own sentence. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank
you, Mr. Anderson.
Mr. Dahl.
Good morning. May it please the Court, my name is Steve DeLeer, and I represent the United States of America in connection with this matter. As the Court is aware, there's only one issue, and it's before the Court today, and that's whether or not the sentencing court had followed the proper procedures in sentencing the defendant in this case. And the government submits that it did. As you can see from the government's filing and also the record, the sentencing court first analyzed the pre-sentence investigation report, the PSR, if you will, determined with the parties if the facts were correct. There were some changes to that. The changes were made or not made based on the parties' arguments at sentencing. The court then took up whether or not the guideline range sentence was properly calculated. Neither party actually had any objection to that, which led to a guideline range of 70 to 87 months. The court then heard argument. The government argued for a guideline range sentence. The defense counsel at that time rested on his briefs and submitted that a lower sentence, a sentence below the guideline range, was appropriate. In allocution, the defendant made certain arguments that were consistent with those raised in his brief. As the court has pointed out, the sentencing court did, in fact, say that it had read all of the submissions, which were basically what the defense counsel rested on, prior to giving the 72-month, the low end, near the low end guideline range sentence. The court did follow the procedures set forth, well-established procedures followed by this court, as this court well knows as well, and it's well-established. The sentencing court doesn't have to go through the 3553A factors in a checklist-like manner, nor does the court need to go through all the issues in mitigation.
Mr. Dolier, would, in the government's view, would poor conditions of confinement before trial ever be a relevant factor for a sentencing judge to take into consideration when imposing a sentence?
Your question is essentially under 3553A, mm-hmm. could that ever be a situation in which a court mm-hmm. could take it into account? Is that correct?
Yes.
Judge? I believe that in certain circumstances, the court could consider extraordinary circumstances of pretrial detention in connection with 3553A in certain extreme circumstances. That is not this case. In fact, the court did mention that this was raised in the written submissions from defense counsel. The court said before even hearing argument on this that it had read all the written submissions and then determined appropriately so under 3553 factors that the criminal history, the offense itself, as well as deterrence led the court to a guideline range sentence, which of course is presumed reasonable. And if the court, I'm sure the court knows, the criminal history is pretty severe in this case. You have two 1992 convictions for armed robbery, and the other conviction is aggravated battery. The defendant was deported in 1996. After those two felonies, came back, and in 2005 has a criminal sexual abuse and a possession of cocaine charge. Those drove the sentence. The court expressly state those factors consistent with 3553A, And because of that, the sentence is reasonable, and also the procedure followed by the court is reasonable. And for that reason, the government submits that the court affirm the 72-month sentence issued to the defendant.
Was no one in the courtroom aware of the fact that even if Mr. Ramirez Gutierrez completed substance abuse treatment in prison, he could not wind up with a shorter sentence? Did that just go past everyone?
Your Honor, quite frankly,
the judge seems not to have been aware of it, and I'm wondering if, you know, neither the government nor defense counsel discussed that.
It was not raised at the sentencing, is my recollection of the record, Your Honor.
Yeah.
And that was not raised, of course, in the briefs on appeal as an issue before the court. But again, I did handle this at the sentencing stage, and that was not raised at the sentencing before Judge Castillo. So I couldn't, defense counsel didn't raise it, is my recollection.
Thank you, Mr. Dollar.
Thank you. And, of course, the government rests on its brief and asks the court to affirm the sentence. Thank you very much.
Anderson.
Just briefly, a very minor point on the record. I would like to note that the 1992 convictions that the government mentioned were from the same incident. So thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.